there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
The Gospel of John, chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 9 through 17. Hear now the Word of God. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you that by the word of the Father today through Jesus Christ, that you teach us, that you give us the wisdom of his word, that you give us the perfect knowledge, Lord, of the very voice of God through our scripture, through this preaching, through our prayers. We know that you will, and we wait to hear from you in our heart and minds and our souls, that we may be changed. The walk of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Friends are an important thing in life, right? We went to a Pitt game yesterday, and there's friends of mine from college that I've known 40 years now. And we're still good friends. And we still keep in touch with one another. We talk to one another, and we still pretty much keep in touch, and we know what's going on with one another's lives. One of my friends that we have prayed for here and is in our prayer list, Denise Dapp, and I want you to know, we can take her off the prayer list. She is free of cancer. We've been praying for her. So praise God for that. So my friend Ken and Andy and Eric, and we were just all together this weekend. And it's so joyful. You like being around them. The stuff that we had gone through in our adventure in our young lives in college, we still talk about. The things that had gone on in each other's lives throughout the years, we speak about and talk about and just reminisce about. And now the guys have turned 60, and I'm 59, and Ken is 59. So we're all in that kind of age group. And one of my friends who I actually prayed with many years ago, and he accepted Christ in his life. So anyway, friends are important. And it's wonderful to have friends like that. And we have friends in the church. There's a good friend of mine who's always encouraging faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, you all have been my friends. People that you can depend on, people that you pray with, people that you know their concerns, the concerns of their hearts. And in this sermon, I want to impress upon you, and in this message, I really want you to understand what Jesus is getting at here. See, there's joy in being in communion with God. Amen? Jesus says in John 15, verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. There is this joy in being in communion with God. Jesus tells his disciples that keeping his commandments is the root of joy. See, Christ is our example of true love of the Father. He's our example. He's who we look to. And as we listen to his wisdom, his plan, his knowledge, his purpose for our lives, all of that which is good, because we know in the book of Romans that God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That is us. That's believers in Jesus Christ. And so we must trust that. We must have faith in that. And when we do, and when we believe, and when we know that we have this plan that he has made for us, that we know that we have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit who abides in our lives, that we have a purpose in Jesus Christ, and that can't help but bring joy, no matter what your circumstances are, good or bad. How should a Christian who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and understands the Bible as the very Word of God, how should you lead your life? I mean, think about this. And I'm not in some esoteric way in the wisdom of men. I'm talking about in Scripture. How should you lead your life? In other words, what is the most perfect path for your life? Living as close to the commandments, amen. And so God, Jesus is saying here that there is a fruit that is born from this, abiding in the branch. You know, we're talking about chapter 15 here, and if you know chapter 15 of John, you know that in the first 8 verses, he talks about the vine and the branches, about abiding in Christ. And so there's fruit to be born. We can go to other pieces of Scripture and see what is this fruit that the Christian life should have. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, I really want you to internalize this, and if you think about it, if you lived with all of that fruit in your life, would that be joyful? Is it hard to live with that fruit in your life day to day? It is. But this is what we're commanded to do. See, these are the results of following the commandments of Christ. If we think about, and the Bible's filled with all of this, and you know this, but in chapter 4 of Ephesians, when it talks about how you should live your life as a Christian, that we should not lie. We should be lovingly truthful to each other. That we should be hard workers. We shouldn't cheat God of time. That we should have encouraging and edifying speech. Not putting people down. This is the person that you ought to be. Compassionate. Forgiving. This is what God calls us to be. And these things will be and are a result of this new life that you get when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you're a born-again believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit, these are the results of a life committed to Christ. We're not perfect. And of all these things, can we do this each and every day? No, it's hard. No question about it, but this is what we're called to look for. We're called to reach for that perfection of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We have been placed here individually, put even in this church, sitting here in these pews today. We are the body of Christ, called to live a life like Christ. A new life. A born-again life. Born from above. Born of the Spirit. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And do you know what the last part of that verse says? For without me, you can do nothing. When you are in this type of communion with Jesus Christ, when you are in this type of communion as Christ was with the Father, He led the perfect mission of the perfect human being on the face of the earth, God and man, Jesus Christ. And by His ascension, He didn't leave us without a counselor, without a friend, without wisdom and knowledge. He left us with the Holy Spirit who indwells our hearts. When you're in this type of communion, there is perfect love and unity and community. You with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You with each other, the church, the body of Christ. See, this is the type of church that Christ wants. This is the type of body that Christ is saying, this is what I want you to be now. Understand this deep unity. The church is called then to love one another. Called. I should probably rephrase that. The church is commanded to love one another. Jesus is talking intimately with His disciples. He's talked about the abiding in the branch and the vine and how we need to abide in Him. And He's talking about the love that He is commanding us to do and the love that He has with the Father. And He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Beloved, we are bound together from one vine, tended by one God the Father. As the branches of Christ grow you by the power of life and the Holy Spirit. And if you can envision what Christ is trying to teach His disciples, what He's trying to get this point through to them of this really deep committed unity in every fiber of their being. There is a theologian, sociologist, Alan Hirsch, who I've read several books on. And he has this quote here that caught me. He says, for many, the Christian community has become little more than a quiet and reflective soul space, such as might be an alternative worship circle, or perhaps a spiritual buzz, charismatic circles, for people trying to recuperate from an overly busy consumerist lifestyle. But is this what the church is meant to be about? We are a very consumer-driven population. We want to go to the next best thing. Is this what the church is supposed to be? And I'm not faulting the churches. I'm faulting the people that are attending because they don't have an understanding of what Jesus is trying to get to here, of what the church is supposed to be about. The church, you and I, are commanded to love one another. We have to do what we can in our resources, in our humanness, in our minds, and as the fallen human nature that we have, yes, but the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us, we are to look past each other's warts and issues and problems. We must do love. It's a verb that he's getting at. You have to do it. You have to actively want to do it with each other when it is very hard to do. But we're commanded to do it. Christ commands us to this agape love. And this is the word for love here in this whole reading that we're giving is agape love. This altruistic, all-encompassing love. Deep love. Christ commands us this agape love. In other words, to continually try, to continually think about, ingrained in our very being, the love of Christ exercised. To work on it, to do it. The greatest ancient commands of Christ when he was asked what the greatest commandment was, right? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like it. Love your neighbors, yourself. There is a depth of love for one another that is willing to give your very life for your friend. A depth deeper than you can even think or imagine. True friendship. True friendship. Now here's the question. How many churches do you know that actually do this? Here we try. Here we look to fulfill this fellowship together. But stuff happens here. Not all of us really come to enjoy what the fellowship is for one another and that joy of love that Christ is getting at here, right? I'm not faulting you. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying this is what we have to work toward, because this is the kind of love that Jesus was imparting to his disciples. This is the kind of love 2,000 years ago that changed the world. This is the kind of love that made an impact in a Roman society that was ruthless. This was the kind of love that made an impact in Greek philosophy, who thought they knew everything. We're in the same place today. Substitute Rome for whatever you want to. Substitute Greece for whatever you want to. Power and philosophy, we battle it now. And so how best do we show the world Christ by the love we have for one another? True love. Really a family, really friends. God's word revealed to us leaves no secrets now. There's no secrets anymore. You read Genesis to Revelation, there it is. It's all laid out for you. It's God's word speaking to you. Jesus says in verse 15, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We're not wanting for any more revelation. It's complete. Jesus' work on the cross, the last thing he said, it is finished. Christ is the living word. He reveals all to those who love him and obey his commandments. From the Father through the living Christ in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is conviction of obedience to pursue the living friendship of the community of the body. The community of the body and spirit that reconciled believers have the joy to experience. And that's a mouthful. And I want to kind of break that down. It's the Father through the living Christ in the indwelling Holy Spirit, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, our understanding of it, our believing in Christ, our Lord and Savior, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, gives us a conviction. So we know when we're doing wrong. You know. You know when you're not doing what the Spirit is compelling you to do. You know these things. And so the Holy Spirit compels you, gives you a conviction to be obedient. But then it becomes up to us to do that. We can pursue a living relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we do that to the degree of love that Jesus is talking about here, we will do that to the degree of love for one another. We'll be empowered for it. Jesus makes it known to you. The obedience of the command of love yields the power of God in the life of believers. And if he does that in life of individual believers, he will do that in the life of the church, the body of Christ. Friends in love with God and one another. This was, beloved, the first century church, to this small scattering of disciples that changed the world. John 15:16-17, lastly, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he's going to give you. That according to his will. We know that. This I command you then, he finishes up, love one another. God chose you to bear the fruit of the vine. It is a deep, abiding relationship with God that we have. He chose you to bear that fruit of the things that we talk about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, being honest, you know, working hard, having a good word for people. Compassionate, forgiving. We're friends with a purpose. In love with God and each other. We're bound together. For those of you who were in our healing service, you know what that means. Amen? We were bound together. We didn't intend it to be any time limit. We were there for 2.5 hours. And it seemed like 45 minutes. You have known when you have been in our prayer vigils and you spent that hour with God that it goes by quickly, doesn't it? And you get done with that hour and you think, I could have been here another hour or two or three. That's what it was like because the Spirit of God was in that place. There's no question about it. Believers in Jesus Christ gathered together who loved one another, who prayed for one another, who lifted each other up. It was awesome. When the church then is truly bound together in the love of God and one another, it cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. Solomon says in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 and 12, two are better than one, because they have good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There is power when we come together in Christ. There can't help but to be. Our unity together with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a strong bond that cannot be broken. The communion of the church then was a powerful force in that first century, into the second century, in the third century. Christianity went from a small group of people in an upper room on Pentecost to some estimate 35 million people by the end of the third century, at the end of the 200s. That happens by the power of God. In China, Mao Zedong eliminated all religion in 1950. It was estimated that there only remained maybe 1 million Christians in the country. And now, through house churches, underground churches all through China, it's estimated over 120 million, maybe 200 million Christians. That happens by the power of God in a true church who loves one another, who loves the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they move in power. This community of believers today can make a powerful difference to those around us. Amen?
Amen.
In the obedient joy of love as commanded by Christ to his disciples 2,000 years ago. The church is all who are called and placed, believers in Jesus Christ, united with him as one and with each other as one community. Further on, and I'll close with this, chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. Why? So that the world may know that you sent me. It's the mission of the church, beloved. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.